wonderfully created, more wonderfully restored. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. So often in life, our experience falls short of our expectation. We long for love, but find companionship. We desire friendship, but encounter alliance. We look for a vocation and end up taking a job. And over time, through our experience of high expectation and lower experience, we learn both to militate against our condition and to some degree to settle and accept our lot. How different Easter! Easter is the dimension of existence wherein, through promise and hope, for once our experience soars past our expectation. Luke brings Luke's version of the gospel to us, carefully arranged to remind us of the continuity of life in the church. So these settings in Jerusalem. So a later editor has added Peter at the end of the reading. So the beginning and the ending of the gospel and the experience of the women. All these years of Easter, did you listen to their experience? Their expectations are as low as could be. They're headed toward the tomb. They're expecting pungent death, a crypt, a cave, a loss, the loss of one in whom they had found meaning and belonging and empowerment. It's early in the morning. Sent they are on a thankless mission, and having arrangements, spices and cloth and stone and all, their expectation could not have been lower. And yet, in they enter, and soar we now where Christ has led. You can almost hear their dread as they approach. I dread the touch. I dread seeing him. I dread facing him. I dread facing the future. I dread facing the future without him. I dread the long, lonely, hopeless walk home. How different Easter. Expecting a corpse, they find an angel. Expecting a stone, they find an opening. Expecting an ending, they find a beginning. Expecting death, the stench of death, they find life. They're even told in the gospel, why do you seek the living among the dead? Wonderfully created you are. More wonderfully restored. Easter is about restoration. It's one thing to build, it's another thing to rebuild. It's one thing to create, it's another thing to recreate. Sometimes happier to start than to restart, to make than to restore. Some of us are in our 50s or 60s or 70s or otherwise. We're beginning to think about now how we're going to endow the future. We have capacity, don't we now? Some. We have a capacity to rebuild. It's one thing to start a college, it's another to restore one. It's one thing to start a denomination, riding around on your horse and preaching at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. with your brother writing the hymns and playing the piano. It's another thing 200 years plus later to rebuild. We need, those of us in the restoration projects of life, to keep in mind those flickers of hope we knew. Some of you knew them when you were a little bit younger, those little lines. Someone quoted E.E. Cummings this morning at sunrise. I thank you, Lord, for this most amazing day. And if that's too poetic for you, you might remember Tug McGraw, You've Got to Believe, or you might think of Judy Collins, I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. Or you might think of Butch Cassidy saying, kid, I've got vision and the rest of the world is wearing bifocals. There's something out there for us. Rebuilding is the restoration power of the gospel, and that is good news for those building and rebuilding, for those engaging personally today in another dimension, that human dimension of promise when experience goes past us in good. If you listen right around here during the week, you can hear those sentences. 10 years ago when I was 19, I did something I regret. I wish that I had remembered otherwise, but I'm going to let it go today and rearrange my timeline. Or another. I left aside my studies some years ago, and I'm going to restore my commitment to them. Or, good afternoon, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic. Restoration, restoration, restoration. Or, hi, Dad, it's Easter. I know we haven't talked in 10 years, but I was in church, and the minister said, and well, how are you in Easter 2013? Wonderfully created, yes, but more wonderfully restored. I listened to my partner in the gospel, Philippians 1:3, Augustine of Hippo. He doesn't say very much up here. He's in the stained glass. I hope he's a good listener, but you may remember his naming of your condition regarding expectation and experience. Sloth poses as love, but what is sloth poses as the love of peace, but what is certain peace save in God? Extravagance masquerades as abundance, but God is the only source of endless sweetness. The spendthrift makes a pretense of liberality, but only God is the source of generous giving. The covetous want many possessions for themselves, but truly, God possesses all. Envy struggles with preferment, but what is to be preferred before God? Anger demands revenge, but what justice, what vengeance is juster than God's? Fear shrinks before unexpected danger, caring only for safety. But in God, there is nothing strange, nothing unforeseen. You see, he's naming our condition from sloth to envy to fear. But then, as he'll tell you, he opened a book one day in a garden, and he came to a verse, Romans 13:13. Not in reveling or in drunkenness, he read. Not in debauchery or in licentiousness, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy the desires thereof, he read. And then he said, it was as if the light of confidence, confide, faith, the light of confidence filled my heart and all the darkness of doubt was dispelled. Easter is about receiving the power to move again, not to build, but to rebuild, not to create, but to recreate, to start over, to seize a new given moment. We come to you from, we young folks, Jan and I, come to you from the Finger Lakes, that freshwater lake region, here to the Salt Sea, in a little town over there called Batavia. There was a young man named Terry Anderson who grew up. He went into the military, served 2 tours in the Marines. Then he went into a wonderful life as a journalist, South Africa and India and the Middle East, until one Saturday morning he was playing tennis in Beirut. And a sedan pulled up, cuffed him and blindfolded him and put him in the back seat. He had built a life, but he was about to find out about rebuilding. And he spent 6 years with those cuffs and blindfold in prison. They gave him at last a Bible to read. He read the Bible cover to cover 50 times. 50 times he saw Moses slay the Egyptian. 50 times he heard the chariots chasing the people of God. 50 times he heard the click and clack of their wheels. 50 times he saw the sea parted. 50 times he saw the sea caving in on Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. 50 times he fidgeted as the children of Israel wandered aimless in the wilderness. 50 times he sat with that old man Moses on Mount Nebo as Moses gave up the ghost. And as Moses died for the 50th time, the door opened, another blindfold and cuffs, a sedan, but a flight west, you may remember. He landed some hours later in New York, and a parade and a celebration and a train ride home to the freshwater lakes in Batavia. And when they asked him how that restoration came, he said, "I have faith." Now, if he had been a poet, he might have said, it was as though the light of confidence, confide, flooded my heart and all the darkness of doubt was dispelled. But he was just a straightforward Batavian, and he said, "This is the restoration gospel. I have faith." We bring you a story of one Anderson. Yours is a story of another here. You'll go now to the rest of the Happy Easter day, and you'll pass by the plaza out front, and there is a monument to Martin Luther King Jr., doves flying. He died 45 years ago. But the beauty of his rhetoric restores still our mother tongue. The courage of his compatriots restored and restores our culture. The hope in his words of hope continues today to feed us with restorative hope. He loved the story, Come Easter. It's in his book, Knock at Midnight, of not Terry, but Marian Anderson. Maybe some of you remember her. She was a beautiful black woman with a gorgeous, stunning voice. She grew up singing. Where do children learn to sing? They learn to sing in church, in a little Baptist church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Not many years later, as King tells, she was standing in Carnegie Hall with the Philharmonic behind her, and she sang for 2.5 hours, like none had ever heard, ending with Ave Maria, in a form no one had ever heard it, and 2 encores, the last being, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." Her own mother was in the audience, and others saw her, Mrs. Anderson, weeping and weeping, and they said, "Mrs. Anderson, your daughter is striking, your daughter is killing, your daughter is succeeding, her future's secure, you don't need to cry." But she said, "Oh, I'm not crying tears of sorrow. I'm crying tears of joy looking back at what we've been through. You see, I worked. I worked in a steamy kitchen that singed my eyebrows and chafed my hands. Marian came as a child once and said, 'Mama, come home, come home. I don't want you working here.' And I said to her, 'I don't mind. I'm doing this for you. And I have great expectations of you.'" That's the cross, that gnarled, chafed hand. That's the resurrection, the voice of expectation. Many years later, Marian was asked about the happiest day of her life. "Was it that day in Carnegie Hall when you sang for so many?" And she said, "No, that wasn't the happiest. Was it when you toured Europe and sang for the kings and queens of England and the continent?" She said, "No, that wasn't the happiest. Was it when Sibelius of Finland said, 'There's not a roof high enough for this voice'?" "No, that wasn't it." "Was it when Toscanini said, 'This kind of voice comes along only once in a generation'?" And she said, "No. But I can tell you the happiest hour and day of my life. That was the day I went to that steamy kitchen and I saw my mother with her eyebrows and her chafed hands. And I said, 'Mama, put up your apron. We're going home. You don't have to work any more. That's the cross, the gnarled, chafed hand of struggle. That's the resurrection, the voice of expectation for a future that emerges through women and men who, with courage and faith, seize opportunities for restoration. Beautiful people of faith, you are drenched in restoration, like that of the women who came to the tomb so many years ago, restoration. Like that of Terry Anderson and Marian Anderson, restoration. Like that of the church which Luke celebrates through all these passages, restoration. Wonderfully created? Oh, yes. More wonderfully restored. Come, ye people, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God has brought his Israel into joy from sadness, loosed from Pharaoh's bitter yoke. Jacob's sons and daughters travel with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters. Sursum corda, open, lift up your heart to the Easter gospel of restoration.